Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Vandana Srima Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Janitai Gopuman. Not probably here, but you know where he lives. So if you want to see him, please come. My wife won't let me bring him. That's one reason. Because, you know, she has to put up with me not being there two nights a week, every week. So it's a little bit austere for her. You know, I'm away already two nights. So she said it's either, you know, if you want to go, you have to leave him there. And she feels protected if he is there. If we're both gone, then she feels a bit like that. Plus also, quite often I come and the temples, I mean, the theatre's quite dirty. So I don't feel comfortable. I mean, today it's not too bad, but sometimes it's you know, I don't feel comfortable bringing him like that. So. But if you want to see him, just come there. Okay. So tonight we'll begin chapter 75. What is chapter 75 called? Duryodhana humiliated. So we'll do the first 20 verses, which is half of the chapter. We'll see about the pastime of Duryodhana. Maharaj Parikshit said, O Brahmana, according to what I have heard from you, all the assembled kings, sages and demigods were delighted to see the wonderful festivities of King Ajatashatru's Rajasuya sacrifice, with the sole exception of Duryodhana. Please tell me why this was so, my Lord. So, there's no purport, but Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives a purport. In the purport, he says, obviously, Duryodhana did not, he was not pleased because he is envious. And when you're envious, you don't feel happy when others are happy. So envy is the root cause, in a sense, of why we're in this material world, matsara. And the Bhagavatam is the opposite. It says it is for those who are near matsara, which means without envy. And if we allow ourselves to become envious, we will suffer. Now, if you allow yourself to be overtaken by any of the lower qualities, the demoniac qualities, so pride, lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, you know, these different qualities, then if they overcome your consciousness, then you cannot think of Krishna and you will suffer. That's the result. It leads to suffering. We see it ourselves. When we become envious of others, we suffer. You know, there's no pleasure there. And envy is what drives the material world. Lust, anger, and greed, they drive the material world. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that lust, anger, and greed are the three gateways to hell. It means you will go down because of lust and anger and greed. You know, we saw, you know, on Friday last week, then in New Zealand, all the people were killed, all the Muslim people were killed. So, you know, there's different ways of looking at all of this. You know, I mean, on the high level, you know, we say it's karma. You know, because it is. Nothing happens without the sanction of Krishna's authorities, Krishna's representatives, the material energy. So, you know. But on another level, we don't look at it like that. We look at it that this is, you know, demoniac behavior. And it needs to be punished. You know, and that's the problem. You know, there's no punishment. You know, they're going to wait till April till they have a court case. Well, what's the court case? The guy shot him all. Just get the guy and just kill him now. You should have killed him on Friday. They caught him on Friday. Just kill him. Everything's sentimental now. And you can see because he acted out of anger, driven by anger, based on illusion and pride and lust and envy and all those negative qualities, then he will suffer. Untold suffering. That's why you're better off just killing him. Just send him to Yamaraj. Yamaraj will take care of him. And what are they going to do here? They're just going to have some court case and then throw him in jail or something. It's like, what's the point? And then at the end of that, he goes to Yamaraj. So what's the point? Just, get it over and done with now. Everything is too sentimental now these days. So all these negative qualities, they just lead to suffering. So that's why when we study the Bhagavatam, we purify ourselves of the negative qualities. And we should feel that as devotees in our lives, as time goes by, you should feel the negative qualities are going, are dissipating, evaporating gradually. We should feel lust is becoming less, anger is less, greed is less, pride is less, envy is less. And then the process is working. If they're increasing, then you have to have a serious look at your application of the process of bhakti. So, any points?
So the people who were praying, they went back home back to God?
No. Prabhupada says that the highest a Christian can go, someone who practices what we call Christianity, Prabhupada says the highest they can go is swaga, become a demigod. So for these people, the highest they can go is swaga. They can't go back to Krishna. Because, if you look at their practices, it's not completely enlightened. Something is there. Some understanding of God is there, but it's not like an enlightened practice. Most of them are still eating meat and, so it's not like they're not acting in such a way they'll go all the way to Krishna. But they may go to heavenly planets, maybe. Well, they're making advancement, but it's very slow. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, better to be a demigod worshipper in the Vedic culture, or better to be a Christian, where you worship God? Prabhupada said, better to be a demigod worshipper in the Vedic culture, because if you're in the Vedic culture and then you evolve to Krishna consciousness, then you'll advance much more rapidly. So it's somehow or other we're in the best situation. We worship God, we don't worship demigods, and we have the highest understanding of God. And we're practicing akarma, whereas most of the other religions are not practicing akarma. Something is there, some devotion is there, some sincerity is there, but it's covered by lower modes of material nature. And actually when Lord Chaitanya, he met with the Chankazi. You read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Lord Chaitanya, they have a discussion. And Lord Chaitanya says the Quran is not divine. It comes from man. It's a man-made scripture. It's not like the Gita, not like Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, where it's coming from Krishna himself. It's still tinged by the modes of material nature. It's not like a transcendental shastra. This is transcendental. It's a different thing. So, any points?
One of the lectures, Devamrit Maharaj was telling, most of the times we'll be worrying about he did that, he did this, all those things, than that we should concentrate on the main goal of life and getting distracted for silly reasons.
Good. Sri Badarayani said, at the Rajasuya sacrifice of your saintly grandfather, his family members, bound by their love for him, engaged themselves in humble services on his behalf.
So,
King Yudhishthira did not force his relatives to accept different castes as sacrifice. Rather, out of their love for him, they volunteered for such duties.
Any points?
This Maharaj is called Ajatasatru. Ajatasatru. There's no enemy. Even Duryodhan was very favorable to him. Not fully favorable, but he had a little bit of respect.
Yeah. He wouldn't have done it for anyone else except Yudhishthira. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Any other points?
And as a king, people are naturally getting attracted. If you compare these days politicians, they force people to give the vote and it's not natural. They are not getting attracted to their nature.
Hmm. Yep. Anything else?
And we can't force anyone to do the service. Like in our temple also, we have the love for Krishna and we voluntarily accept the service for entry.
So, once again, this is like it's a explanation of good leadership. You know, there's an old saying in leadership circles that says, you cannot demand respect, you have to command respect. There's a difference. You know, demanding, you have to do this, you have to serve me, you have to like that. Where you command the respect because people respect you, they're inspired by you. That's leadership. So we have to become those kind of leaders, where people are inspired by us. And being inspired, they will do anything, they will surrender to Krishna. You see, Prabhupada, he's such an inspiration. People gave up everything for Prabhupada. Like, I told you a few times that story of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and then you go to Mayapur, the hut, and you come to the front gate, the hut's there on the left, where Bhajan Kutia.
Yeah.
So back then, that's all there was. There wasn't any, now with TRVP and long building and, gutter building and lotus building, all these things, none of it was there. It was just the one hut. So then, Tamal Krishna Maharaj is, Prabhupada's inside, and the disciples are sleeping inside, or as Tamal Krishna Maharaj is sleeping outside, like on the veranda, just out there. So then about 11 o'clock or 12 or something, or 1 or something like that, middle of the night, someone's kicking him, so he wakes up. He looks up, a little surprised. You wake up, someone's kicking you. And he wakes up, looks up, and then Prabhupada's dead. Prabhupada said, "You are snoring." Tamal Krishna said, "I was not snoring." Prabhupada said, "Yes, you were snoring." He said, "Go and sleep somewhere else." Because Prabhupada is doing his translation, in the dictaphone, so he needs to concentrate. So Tamal Krishna was snoring, so Prabhupada couldn't concentrate. So Tamal Krishna just, stood up in the dark, just walked off into the dark, and he said he found, there was a pile of steel, using to build the lotus building. Pile of steel, a pile of rocks, or a pile of sand. So he chose the sand, laid down, took rest, got up the next morning, came back. Mangalati, did his service. Prabhupada didn't even say anything. They were just completely surrendered to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was just like sometimes pushing them to their like extreme. There's like no material facility. Even, quite often. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was the GBC of India. He said actually Prabhupada was the GBC because Prabhupada was there. So Prabhupada was actually the GBC, but Tamal Krishna Maharaj was the GBC. So then in Calcutta, they had like a big room, kind of like this, and that was the office. So because Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he wanted some privacy, so he kind of built like a wall in the corner, so he had his own little office, because he was the GBC. And then Prabhupada saw it, he said, "Take it down." He said, "GBC means you can have your own desk. That's it." So Prabhupada was just pushing. You know, there's no like material facility or, you know. And then he was a grihastha. You know, my Guru Maharaj was a grihastha, Tamagrishma, between about 1970 and 72 for a couple of years as grihastha. And he said they were traveling with Prabhupada, dancing white elephants, traveling through India, doing different programs with Prabhupada. And, you know, he was married. And he said Prabhupada never once asked, like, how is your grihastha ashram? Do you have enough facility? Do you have any facility? You know, most of the time he just had to sleep with the brahmacharis, his wife had to sleep with the brahmacharinis. There was no, like, separate facility or, you know, now we've got our own houses. You know, we have our own house, we have our own car, we have two cars, you know, we have, you know, all the facilities we have. Yeah, there was no facility. You know, he was just travelling and, you know, wherever they ended up that night, his wife would sleep one place, he'd sleep the other place. You know, Prabhupada never said, oh, do you need something or like that. So, you know, there was, you know, and Prabhupada, everyone was just surrendered to him fully just because he was such an inspiring leader. So everyone was just surrendered to Prabhupada. And they gave up everything for Prabhupada's service. You know, and then Tamagrishma, then he came to Prabhupada, he said, I want to take sannyas. And Prabhupada said to him, he said, your wife is also my disciple. So I have to protect her also. I can't, how can I give you sannyas? But Tamagrishma just kept coming, just kept, you know, asking. And finally, Prabhupada said that, you know, if I give you sannyas, she'll be very upset. And Tamagrishma said, well, she'll be upset at some point in time. Either now or later in life when, you know, we separate. So better we do it now. And Prabhupada said, that is true. And then Prabhupada said, okay, tomorrow. And he said, you need a danda. Tamagrishma said, there's already ready. He said, you need to dye your cloth. Tamagrishma said, there's already done. He said, okay, tomorrow. So the next day in Jayapur, then in the Radha Govinda Mandir, then Prabhupada gave him sannyas. Right, fully surrendered. The Prabhupada gave up everything. Not easy to give up, you know, family life. You know, can you imagine giving up your husband and wife? You know, can you imagine doing it? It's not easy to do, actually. You know, maybe there's one or two people in the room who'd say, yeah, I could do it easily. But that's usually just a daily thing. You know, but to actually do it, to actually become separated from the family, that's actually, it's a great level of renunciation. You know, something I'm not able to do. So it is like it's a high level of surrender. But for Prabhupada, they were doing all these different things. So Yudhishthira is that kind of leader. Yudhishthira Maharaj is so powerful that he just inspires them all. So even people who were opposed to Yudhishthira, they were assisting Yudhishthira. As the first verse says, Ajata Shatru. Ajata Shatru means there are no enemies. You know, there's very few people who are like that. You know, maybe a few devotees like that, but generally it's very rare that, you know, someone that doesn't have any enemy. So the way to inspire the devotees to surrender is actually, as Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Instruction is like our guidebook, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction. So Rupa Goswami said there are six loving exchanges, and he calls these Priti Lakshana. Priti Lakshana means?
Loving exchanges.
Yeah, ornaments of love. Lakshana. Like loving exchanges. Ornaments of love. So that's how you inspire the devotees to surrender like that. Right? You inquire from them confidentially and you reveal your mind in confidence. That inspires. And we become inspired. All this, you know, devotee is taking care of me. I feel I can reveal my heart to them. So that is the exchange of love. It's Priti Lakshana. Right? And then they give us prasadam, and we give them prasadam, and we give them gifts, and they give us gifts, and then we accept it, and we like that. So that's the way to meet these confidence. And that's how good leaders, you see in the devotional community, that's how they inspire the trust. Because you know, Prabhupada said ISKCON is based on love and trust. So there has to be love. Genuine preeti. Devotees have to feel like love between each other. Like there's an actual affection, genuine affection. Right? And trust. That comes from when we build those relationships. So Yudhishthira was so loving and so affectionate that he built the trust, so much so that even those who were not favorable to him, they also rendered service. Any points?
Does love lead to surrender or surrender leads to love?
You can say both. Both are true. Any other points? Okay. Bhima supervised the kitchen. Is that appropriate?
Yes.
What's his name?
Bhim.
Bhim Sen, yeah. But also in Gita, there's another name for him. Vrikoda.
Vrikoda.
Yeah, Vrikoda. What does Vrikoda mean? Voracious eater. Yeah, it means wolf belly. It means like there's a wolf living in the belly. It has that voracious appetite. Alligator belly. So Vrikoda. And you know, when they were kept for they had to go to the forest for 13 years?
Yeah.
So then 12 years they were in the forest, and then 1 year they had to go into cognito. Yeah. And then if they were found in that year, then they had to go back for another 13 years. That was the condition, the agreement between Duryodhana and them. So the last year they hid in Virat's kingdom, and Bhima acted as the cook. He went into the kitchen. He said, the five of them turned up with Draupadi, and then they said, we were the servants of the Pandavas, Maharaj Yudhishthira. And now Yudhishthira and the Pandavas have gone into hiding. We're their five servants. So we will now take shelter in your kingdom if you will allow us. And they all introduced themselves. And Bhima said, I am the cook. I was the cook of Yudhishthira. So they said, okay, you go to the kitchen. So he was in the kitchen. And then here also. He was very big. I heard he was 12 foot tall. 12 foot's big. It's like above the exit sign. Higher than the exit sign. Double. It's like up on that panel above the exit sign. Like it's very big.
2 times my height plus 1 foot.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, you know, very, very big. Now I heard he was that big. So you know, Bhima saying, you know, it was hard to hide him because you know he was so big. Very hard to hide him, but he dressed as a cook, and then he went in there. But then during that year, then Kichaka, who was the general of Virat's army, then he was extremely powerful. But then he came at one night to touch Draupadi. Draupadi said, "Come and meet me at night time." So he came in, and Bhima hid under the sheets. So he went to touch Draupadi, and then Bhima jumped up and roared. And then they fought each other. And then Bhima killed him, Kichaka, after a big fight, because they were both extremely powerful. And then he pushed his head into his body. Like he got his hair pushed into his body and his arms and his legs pushed them into his body, so he just looked like a big ball of flesh. Then he took him in and just left him on the next to the front gate of the palace. And in the morning, everyone woke up and there's just like a big ball of flesh. Kichaka being crushed by Bhimasen. So he was the cook. And then he went back and hid as the cook. But even when he was in Bharat's kingdom, they'd have wrestling matches. So he would come out of the kitchen and go into the wrestling match, and then he'd go back into the kitchen. Bhima supervised the kitchen. Duryodhana looked after the treasury. And Duryodhana was very attached to money, so he was looking after the treasury. Sahadev respectfully greeted the arriving guests. He was very learned, very cultured. Nakula procured needed items. He was also very expert. Arjuna attended the respectable elders because he was so cultured. And Krishna washed everyone's feet, right, which is amazing. You know, Krishna himself took the most humble service out of everyone, voluntarily. Shows Krishna's greatness. While Draupadi served food, and Draupadi was an expert cook, so she was serving. And generous Karna gave out the gifts. Karna was famous for charity. Remember, Indra came and begged, disguised as a Brahmin, he gave the earrings, cut them, because they were connected to his body. Cut the earrings and also the kavach, the armor. So he cut it, and then he gave that to Indra. So he was very famous for charity. Many others, such as Yuyudan is Satyaki. Satyaki is Krishna's general of Krishna's army. Vikarna, Hardikya, Vidura, Murishrava, and others, and other sons of Palika and Santardana, similarly volunteered for various duties during the elaborate sacrifice. They did so because of their eagerness to please Maharaj Yudhishthira, O best of kings. So, I remember a while ago I heard like a leadership expert speaking about leadership, and he said there's two qualities of a leader. I think it's valuable. He said that a leader must know where he is going. If you don't know where you're going, then you're not a leader. Like when you're kids, you're walking along, and whoever's leading, you say, "Where are we going?" They say, "Oh, I don't know." So then you say, "Who's this guy?" So someone else will take the lead. So if you're the leader, you must know the direction. Right? And secondly, you must have followers. If no one's following you, you're not a leader. You know, some people say, I'm the leader. But, you know, no one follows you, then it doesn't mean anything. So the leader is the one that people will follow. He becomes the leader. So Yudhishthira is qualified because all of these great personalities, even Krishna, is following him. Shows Yudhishthira's greatness. And he knows where he is going. He knows what the purpose is, to do the Rajasuya sacrifice. Which if he does that, it'll make the whole, all the demigods will be pleased, and the whole kingdom will become auspicious, and everyone will have as much as they need. So he's such a qualified king. So, any points?
He's doing for everybody's satisfaction, whereas if you see nowadays, like political leaders want to, gain whatever they want to, whatever they are gaining for themselves, not for others. Selflessness we can find in Yudhishthira.
Complete selflessness. Yeah. Most leaders, even in the modern age, they're mixed. They want to help the citizens, but they also have their own agenda simultaneously. It's rare that you'll find a leader who's just completely in it for himself. You know, there are people like that, but generally, mostly, they're trying to do some good, but they're also mixed. Even Donald Trump, he's not all bad. You know, he's trying to help in certain ways, but in other ways, he's quite negative. After the priests, the prominent delegates, the greatly learned saints and the king's most intimate well-wishers had all been properly honoured with pleasing words, auspicious offerings and various gifts as remuneration. And after the king of Chedi had entered the lotus feet of the lord of the Satwatas, the Avabrita bath was performed in the divine river Jamuna. So, there's a few points which are there. One is that for a jagya to be auspicious, for the jagya to be successful, everything must be auspicious. That's why Shishupal's blood could not touch the arena. Because if the blood had fallen, everything would have been contaminated. And then the sacrifice would not have the full potency that it had previously. So therefore, everything has to be auspicious. Now that's very difficult in Kali Yuga, because Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Kalea dosha niti rajan. Dosha niti means so many faults. Yeah? That's why it says, asti heko mahanguna. There's only one good quality in Kali Yuga. Kirtanat eva krishnasya. You have to chant the holy name of Krishna. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach us. You have to chant the holy name of Krishna because it's the only thing which will correct all the faults. Because in Kali Yuga, it's an ocean of faults. No? So if you try to do a jagya, you know, if you try to do a Rajasuya sacrifice in Kali Yuga, it wouldn't work because there would be so many defects. Whereas, if you do Sankirtan Jagya, all the faults are destroyed and you can go back to the spiritual world. That's how powerful it is. Mukta Sangha Param Vajet. And for any sacrifice to be successful, there are certain things that are required. Even when we do jagyas here, like we do jagyas at the time of initiation. When we get initiated, then there has to be a jagya. When we get married, there has to be a jagya. You know, they're the main things probably in our life. And maybe a few other things. We'll have jagyas. But these are the main times. But in order for the jagya to be successful, there must be dakshina. No? You have to offer remuneration.
Charity.
Yeah, charity. You have to give dakshina. Otherwise, it doesn't become successful. Prabhupada says, in the Bhagavad Gita, in one of the purports, he says, if a jagya is performed and there is no distribution of prasadam, he said, then the jagya is not complete and it is not auspicious. Similarly, if you don't give dakshina to the correct person, the jagya is not complete. I remember when I got initiated, I think it was my second initiation, And then after the jagya, then my Guru Maharaj, he said to me, where is the dakshina? And I said, I'll give it to you. And I just don't have it right now. Like that. And he said, then the jagya is not complete. It's not complete. You know, you have to give the dakshina. That's part of the jagya. So then I went and got the dakshina. And, so that is the system. So prasadam, whenever there's a sacrifice, there has to be prasadam distributed. There has to be dakshina given to the correct people, and then everything becomes auspicious. Any points?
How about on the Harinam, we don't necessarily distribute prasadam food. Harinam is a jagya.
Sometimes we do. Sometimes.
Is there distribution?
No, we can take the Sarangha from the hospice every time we finish the ayurveda.
No, for distribution.
Yeah, sometimes we do. Sometimes they do. When they do the Harinam, sometimes they give out cookies and things like that. So, can be done. Harinam is so auspicious that everything becomes, you know, because it says even if other things aren't there. Because when you do a traditional jagya, you have to give the dakshina and everything. When we do Harinam, even if we don't do all the other things, there's so many faults, but still it makes everything auspicious. So. But if you can give prasadam, it's good. Any other point? During the Avabrita celebration, the music of many kinds of instruments resounded, including mridangas, conch shells, panavas, dunduris, kettle drums, and gomukha horns. Female dancers danced with great joy, and choruses sang, while the loud vibrations of Venus, flutes and hand cymbals reached all the way to the heavenly regions. All the kings wearing gold necklaces set off for the Jamuna. They had flags and banners of various colors and were accompanied by infantry men and well-adorned soldiers riding lordly elephants, chariots and horses. So you can see the opulence, which is there in the past. Yudhishthira mentions, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions, when they're giving out dakshina, or giving out gifts to everyone, even before the jagya, and then afterwards also, they're giving out very valuable jewelry, jeweled necklaces and earrings, and all sorts of things. And in the Vedic culture, the men would wear it as well. You know, you'll see, like, the chachis have very beautiful earrings and, you know, they have very beautiful necklaces. It's a cultural thing. These days, men don't wear these things so much. You know, we just said maybe have just like a gold necklace or something, or, you know, not so much. But, you know, the men would also wear. And the men would wear turbans, silk turbans, and they'd dress very opulently, and yeah, it's considered auspicious. Now, if you dress like that, everyone will think you're strange. Yeah, if you come to Gaur Panim with a silk yellow dhoti or green dhoti or something like that, everyone will think, oh, it's very, what's wrong? So, in Kali Yuga, we take more like Brahmana Vesh. You know, we dress very simply. But in the previous age, they would dress very opulently. Was considered to be very auspicious. The massed armies of the Yadus, Srinjayas, Kambojas, Kurus, Kekayas, and Kaushalas made the earth tremble as they followed Yudhishthira Maharaj, the performer of the sacrifice, in procession. So, in the previous age, there were Kshatriyas. What happened is that when Kali Yuga began, the Brahmanas became corrupted. You remember the first canto? What takes place? Sringi? Brahmana boy curses Parikshit Maharaj unnecessarily. So at that time, the Brahminical class becomes weakened or contaminated. And then as time goes by, then the Kshatriyas become contaminated and they lose. Even like 200 years ago or so in France, you know, they started killing the royal family because they weren't looking after the citizens, because the royal family is meant to protect the citizens. Just like in Yudhishthira's sacrifice, everyone got fed. Right, the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, the Sudras, even the dogs, even the Malecha, everyone got fed. That was the Vedic culture. But these days, you know, people don't get looked after properly. And 200 years ago in France, as an example, the kings were and the queens, the royal family, they were eating very well, but there was famine within the country and people weren't eating properly. And then Marie Antoinette, have you heard of her? She was one of the queens in France. So she was going along the road in the royal carriage, and the citizens were calling out, you know, because she's the queen. They said, "Give us bread, give us bread." You know, they're hungry. And she said, "Eat cake." We don't eat bread, we eat cake. Because they're so rich, you know, they could eat whatever they wanted. But then the rest of the citizens were starving. So they ended up cutting her head off. You know, the citizens, they charged into the palace, and they got the king and they got the queen, they took them outside and they cut their heads off. Because they weren't looking out. So the brahmanas become corrupt and then they fall down, and then the kshatriyas, they fall down. And now who's in charge now? Shudras. Or even the Vaishyas, you can say. Like Donald Trump, he's a Vaishya. Vaishyas know how to make money. Right? If you're working hard and you don't have money, it means you're not a Vaishya. Because if you're a Vaishya, you will have money. You know, I know some devotees, they came to Australia with nothing, now they're millionaires. You know, they're Vaishyas, they just know how to make money. You know, it'll manifest. Right. So now we have like the Vaishyas running. Right? The Vaishyas should not run society. Right? The Kshatriyas should run society under the guidance of the Brahmanas. Otherwise the Vaishyas, they're all just talking, make money, make money, make money. That's not the point. Society is... Money is just part of society. The kshatriyas, the actual kshatriyas are in charge. They tax the brahmanas, and then they feed everyone, look after everyone, make sure everyone is looked after. How much tax do they take? In Yudhishthira's time, how much tax does the king take? 25%. 25%. So remember in the beginning of the 10th canto, Nanda Maharaj had to go over to see Kamsa. 25% of whatever the grains were. 75% you keep for your village. You know, 50% you use to feed everyone. 25% you keep as emergency if there's a famine or drought or something. And 25% you give to the king, tax. That's the system. So you need the proper... So here, you know, we have actual kshatriyas. When they move, when they march, the whole ground moves. So powerful. It'd be very, very inspiring to see. Imagine now if we hear like coming down the street, you know, like a whole army of kshatriyas. That's very powerful, very inspiring.
Only Vaishyas pay the taxes, right?
Yeah.
Shudras no taxes.
Sudras don't have any money. Yeah, Sudra. It says in the Shastra, the Shudra should not be given gold. Should not be given money. They just take leftovers. You know, they just give them facility, that's it.
Necessities.
Necessities, yeah. And it also says the Shudra should never have a conveyance, a car. You see, now all the Shudras have cars, and they just cause problems for themselves and everyone else. But Shudras never had cars. You know, if a Shudra was riding in a chariot, that's a, who is this guy? They'd just grab him and... Yeah. He would never have a car. The assembly officials, the priests and other excellent brahmanas resoundingly vibrated Vedic mantras, while the demigods, divine sages, pitas, and Gandhavas sang praises and rained down flowers. So what do the brahmanas do for society?
Chant mantras.
Chant mantras? Well, what's the benefit of chanting mantras?
Do we get, because of that rain will come.
What's that?
Doing yagyas.
Yeah, they do yagyas. Yeah, so the rain will come. Yeah, that's true. That's true. What's the main point? Why? What's the main necessity or the main benefit of having brahmanas?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, yeah.
Yeah, knowledge. They keep everyone on track. If you don't have brahmanas, everyone else will become unfocused. You need to associate with brahmanas. In ISKCON we have brahminical devotees, like all the sannyasis. That means they're brahminical. And then you see, you know, there's other gurus in ISKCON who are Grihastha or Vanaprastha. They're like Burajan Prabhu and Sankarshan Dasadikari and Mahatma Prabhu. He's up at New Govardhan at the moment. Yeah, Grihasthas or Vanaprasthas, right? But they're brahmanas. It means they keep everyone focused, what the goal of life is. If you don't associate with brahmanas, then you don't understand what the goal of life is. And Vedic culture means you respect the brahmanas. If someone is helping you to attain the goal of life, you maintain them, you respect them. That's the system. So you see in the Vedic culture, then Yudhishthira was looking after all the brahmanas, because they were the ones who were keeping everyone focused. Men and women, all adorned with sandalwood paste, flower garlands, jewelry, and fine clothing, sported by smearing and sprinkling one another with various liquids. The men smeared the courtesans with plentiful oil, yogurt, perfumed water, turmeric, and kumkum powder. And the courtesans playfully smeared the men with the same substances. Would have abundant proof.
So Srila Prabhupada described this scene as follows. The men and women of Indraprastha, their bodies smeared with scents and floral oils, were nicely dressed in colorful garments and decorated with garlands, jewels and ornaments. They were all enjoying the ceremony, and they threw on each other liquid substances like water, oil, milk, butter, and yogurt. Some even smeared these on others' bodies. In this way, they were enjoying the occasion. The professional prostitutes were also engaged by jubilantly smearing these liquid substances on the bodies of the men, and the men reciprocated in the same way. All the liquid substances had been mixed with turmeric and saffron. Their color was a lustrous yellow.
What are the points? Any points? Any points? So, in the which canto is it? Where the
second canto.
No, not the second canto. In the third canto, when Jai and Vijay, that pastime with the four Kumaras, and when the four Kumaras go to Vaikuntha, and then it gives a description of Vaikuntha in the third canto, and then it describes that the devotees in the Vaikuntha region are flying around on Pushpa Vimana, aeroplanes made of flowers, and they're flying around. And it describes there are husbands and wives, and they're embracing each other, they have their arms around each other, and they're flying around, and they're glorifying Lakshmi and Narayan within Vaikuntha. And then Prabhupada points out that even though the wives are so beautiful and the husbands are so attractive, but there is no sex desire. Maituni bhav, the mundane sex desire which is found in this world, it is not there. It is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha. So there is no sex attraction. So in these pastimes also, it describes that when they went to the river to take their bath, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur actually says it's actually the husbands and wives. It's not like all the women are, you know, throwing stuff on all the men and all the men throwing stuff. No, it's more culture, but, you know, everyone's a little bit happy because the jug is finished and big sacrifice and like that. So like those who are married, then they are you know, putting the sandalwood on each other and the yogurt and like that. But the point is, there is no sex desire. And you see, there's a pastime later on in Dwarka where Krishna and Arjuna are also throwing yogurt and so forth at Krishna's wives. But there was no sex desire there. It's pure males, pure females. That's on the spiritual platform. Yeah. So what we're seeing here is not a mundane thing. But it describes a Duryodhana as an example. When he sees these pastimes taking place, he becomes disturbed in consciousness. Right? He becomes lustful. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not speak about the gopis in public. And Prabhupada would not speak about the gopis extensively in public. Because you can't speak about pure males and pure females to people who are not qualified, because they will become materially disturbed. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the rasa turns into virasa. It turns into perverted rasa. If you're unqualified and you hear about Krishna and the gopis, more lust will come. If you're qualified and you hear about Krishna and the gopis, the lust will disappear. So that is a way of understanding. You know, if lust is increasing, then you should stop hearing about Krishna and the gopis. Concentrate on the Bhagavad Gita and things like that. If you're hearing about Krishna and you're feeling like you're becoming purified, then you can continue to hear. So, any points? Surrounded by guards, King Yudhishthira's queens came out on their chariots to see the fun. Just as the demigods' wives appeared in the sky in celestial aeroplanes, as maternal cousins and intimate friends sprinkled the queens with liquids, the ladies' faces bloomed with shy smiles, enhancing the queens' splendid beauty. As the queens squirted water from syringes at their brothers-in-law and the other male companions, their own garments became drenched, revealing their arms, breasts, thighs, and waists. In their excitement, the flowers fell from their loosened braids. By these charming pastimes, they agitated those with contaminated consciousness. So as we said, lust, anger, greed are the gateways to hell. And Prabhupada says, lust is public enemy number one. What's the main problem in modern society? Lust. People are attracted to the opposite sex, or the same sex. And now it's becoming more and more complicated. Now they're saying there's no sex. No. Now that, you know, the transgender and so many things. And what was I hearing recently? Can't remember, it was something. But, you know, like in the old days, you do a survey, you'd say male or female. Sometimes now I see, when I feel things out, it's male, female, or other. What's it? Yeah, well, it says other. I've seen, like, you know, male, female, other. And even I heard the other day someone said that there was some survey and there was like 20 options. You know, male, female, other, transgender, this one, that one. So it's like, you know, it's becoming very confused society. And the problem with it all is it's just lust. The whole thing. You know, male relationships, homosexual relationship, it's lust. Female-female relationships, it's lust. Heterosexual relationships, male-female, it's lust. It's all the same thing. It's just perverted love for Krishna. When love for Krishna is not being reposed upon Krishna, then it comes out as lust. That's the point.
Basically, we're working. They have asked us to change the form for the new recruits. So we have, instead of earlier male, female, there were 20 things have come up. They said, please add, include all this. We're getting people in this study. So they have to select
20 things?
Yeah.
On your?
Yeah, in the bank.
At the bank?
At the bank.
There's like 20 options.
20 options.
Yeah. I heard it. I heard the other day someone was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what all the options are. It's too complicated.
Yeah.
Too complicated. Well, you're a man or a woman. You know, if you're gay or whatever, that's, you know, that's your business. But you're a man or a woman. You know, now it's like, I'm other, or I'm this, that. It's like, it's too complicated. It's just too much part of the identification. That's the point. You know, it's hard enough just being a heterosexual. You know, I'm just a normal man. I'm attracted to women. My wife's a normal woman. She's attracted to men. That's difficult enough. You know, 'cause you've got to deal with all the lust and everything which is in the heart. You know, and then on top of that now, there's like, okay, it's just all making ever more and more in the body. You know, it's just becoming more and more complicated. Kali Yuga ki? Difficult to preach.
I think the slogan in the bank, actually, they say that we take pride in accepting people in what they are. So recently, there was a couple of months back, the government legalized weed. Gay and everything. So after that, we started this day, right? It's a celebration day, something they call it Pride Day.
Mm.
To celebrate. Mm.
Yeah, it's becoming very complicated. So next time you're in the office and they're going through all these things, just stand up in the middle. And then when they say, you know, we're celebrating who we are, you just stand up and you say, Jivera Sarupa Hoy. Krishna Anicca Das. Because that's actually the reality. You know, who are we? And everyone gets really caught up in this. Who am I? Who am I? You've got to find out who you are. Like that. But you're Krishna's servant. That's who you are. You're Jivatma. That's who you are. You know, how come that's not one of the categories? You know, like, you know, man, woman, Jivatma. That's not an option. You're not allowed to say we're the soul. I told you, I think, in one of the classes I told you before, in Australia and America, you know, they have the census. And then you have to write your religion. So there's Hindu, Christian, Muslim, Jew, Buddhist, you know, Baha'i, different ones. Do you know the movie called Star Wars?
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of it?
Yes.
I think all of you have heard of it. Right? So in Star Wars is the movie. It's not real. It's just there's a man called George Lucas. It was his idea, the whole thing. So anyway, in the movie, there's a religion called Jedi. So in America now, and I think now in Australia, that's one of the religions. Because so many people were ticking Jedi. They had to put it on the census form. So now you can say, I'm Christian, I'm Muslim, I'm Hindu, I'm Buddhist, I'm Jedi. What's a Jedi? Jedi is someone who elevates something and makes it like go down like that. The world's really becoming really crazy. Anyway, what can we do?
How do you measure lust?
What's that?
How do you measure lust?
Lust means attraction to sense gratification. That's what it means.
Then why do they say women are 9 times more lusty? Like, how do you measure?
I think when it says that, it says women are 7 times more lusty or 9 times more like that. I think it means like women have... I don't think it's sex. I think sex men are more lusty, generally. Usually the men are more lusty than the women when it comes to sex. But women are more, you could say, lusty or have more material desires in terms of...
Accumulating.
Yeah, accumulating things. So, you know, the women all dress, you know, all colours and stuff. Like, if we dress like that, then, you know, everyone would be like, what's wrong with you? Like that. So it's just the women, they're more like, so I think when it says they're more lusty, it means more like that. More into material things. That's a generalisation, because, you know, some women are not like that and some men are. Okay. The emperor... the emperor mounted upon his chariot drawn by excellent horses wearing golden collars appeared splendid in the company of his wives, just like the brilliant Rajasuya sacrifice surrounded by its various rituals. The priest led by the king through the execution of the final rituals of Patni, Samjaya, and Avabritcha. Then they had him and Queen Draupadi sip water for purification and bathe in the Ganges. The kettle drums of the gods resounded along with those of human beings. Demigods, sages, forefathers, and humans all poured down showers of flowers. King Yudhishthira ki. So next Monday we'll finish the chapter. We'll continue. Thank you for coming. Hare Krishna.